All right. Good morning, Bethel Church. How are you? Well, thank you for joining us. I did ask the facilities crew to turn the temperature down so that no one would fall asleep. If you do feel so cold that you think you are going to fall asleep, raise your hand because an usher will make sure to warm you up right away. Well, thank you. Who knew you would have this battle today facing the cold weather of Bethel Church 2023? If you're joining us at home, bless you. See all the things you're missing out on? Coming to church and being cold. Did everyone have a good Christmas? Sean Keller did. You got that. Well, great. I'm glad you're here today. It's a new year. January 1st. And this year at Bethel is going to be amazing. I just knew if I waited long enough, get you guys excited. Yes, we have a verse for this year. It's Ezekiel 36, 26, and it simply says this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What a great promise from God, right? The giver of life who brings life to us. This year is going to be an amazing year because you guys are here and we are the church. Today, I have a sermon I'm going to preach and you're going to listen. or so help me. But it is a sermon that I struggle to preach because the truth is, I don't want to add a burden to you. I don't want you to come in and feel heavier on the way out today. I do have a challenging word, hopefully, to most of us. But so you know, my heart as your pastor, my goal is not that you leave today with a much longer to-do list and a greater headache on, oh my goodness, how am I even going to do this? But that you leave today feeling realigned with Jesus. That you feel today like you have reconnected with your Savior and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. That is my hope. And then when the Holy Spirit convicts you, I'm just going to say, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not me. I didn't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, guys, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus here. And going through, thinking of this next year, I'm excited. I'm excited. How many of you watched any football over the last week? A couple of you? Oh, man, who are my Ducks fans out there? Almost let the whole Pac-12 down. See, I love actually watching Duck bowl games because it's a win-win. If they win, good for the Pac-12. If they lose, I know I can come. You see, the Beavers don't have many bowl games, so it's like, it's not a thing where you guys get to throw that back at me as often. But it was an incredible game, right? It was the Ducks versus North Carolina. The Ducks were down 24-14. This is a recap, if anyone recorded it. Pause and watch the game, then come back to the sermon. The Ducks were down 24-14. They score a touchdown. They're down by three. North Carolina scores a field goal. So they're up 27-21 with not a lot of time left. Believe it or not, the Ducks scored a touchdown. And now they're up with very little time on the clock. North Carolina gets the ball pretty close to midfield here. And they have a choice between kicking a 58-yard field goal with a kicker whose longest was like 40-something, 47, I don't know, or throwing a Hail Mary, which is basically you're throwing it just up in the air and hoping somebody catches it in the end zone. They elected to go with the throw. It was incomplete. The Ducks win. Yay, Ducks. Yay, Ducks. Give yourself a round of applause, guys. I know, you still got beat by the Beavers, but hey, you won 10 games, and that's all right. The last time the Ducks lost, they fired their head coach when the Beavers beat them. Anyways, so interesting point here. I want you to think of yourself as the kicker on this North Carolina team. And I have a question to ask you. If you were that kicker, would you want to be in the game? Would you have much rather been on the sideline watching? You don't have to answer that out loud. Interesting thought, though, right? Where would you have rather been? Would you have rather had the chance to maybe do something that was seemingly impossible, but yet you got a chance to participate? Or would you rather just let somebody else do it and sit back and watch? Today, in this sermon, I want to talk to you about engagement. I want to talk to you about participation versus being a spectator and just watching. Now, when it comes to this, there's kind of two areas I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the church. Are you spectating or are you participating here at church? I'm going to get to that at the end. But I also want to talk to you as an individual in your own life. Are you spectating in your own life instead of living the life that God has called you to? Living the fullest life that you can. Now remember, my goal here is not to burden you. There's a great verse Jesus spoke. He says, come, this is Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we are living our life aligned with Jesus, the result is not burden, it's freedom. It's being freed. So today, I want to talk to you as an individual. There are a lot of things that get in our way of living our own life, and I want to talk about a couple of those today. But before I do that, I want to read you just a tragic story. I have two Bible stories today. And they both are not super great. This first is found in Matthew chapter 19. And it is a rich man who visits Jesus. And starting in verse 16 of chapter 19, it says this. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which one? He inquired. Jesus replied, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Interesting story of a person who seemingly was bought in, was all in, was following Jesus, was trying to do the things that he knew he should. But yet when he came face to face with the man himself, and Jesus asked him to do something, he went away sad. That's a dead giveaway of a person who was spectating and not participating. Somebody who was on the bench instead of on the field, ready to risk and see God do something amazing. There's a lot of things that get in the way of us when we try to follow Jesus that way. One of them is distractions. Beware of distractions. Now, if you've listened to me before, you've heard me speak about time. Time is the greatest resource that God has allowed you to spend on this earth. I can't tell you how much more important it is than money or prestige or even influence. Your physical time that you get to spend is limited. You only get a certain amount, and it is the most precious thing you get to spend here. However, we waste a lot of time. I'm talking to you, social media person. I'm talking to you, person watching TV streaming. I'm talking to you, person getting into your hobbies and games. None of those things are evil, in my opinion. Write it in the comments and send it to me if you disagree. Those things can be great. However, have you actually thought about the time you're spending? Updating your Facebook, checking your Twitter feed? Have you thought about the amount of time that you've been on your phone playing a game? Or the amount of evenings you've spent watching TV? The way you spend your time is so incredibly important. And I don't say that to burden you. I say that as a pastor who wants to see you burden-free, following Jesus, not wasting the time that God has given him, God's given you. What about worry? Jesus was pretty clear how he felt about worry in our time. It's not worth it. We don't gain anything by worrying about tomorrow, right? Some of us struggle with that. The anxieties of life choke the time and the joy that God's given us. We've got to beware of being distracted and not allowing ourselves to follow God. We also need to beware of procrastination. Now, some of you already feel uncomfortable. Now I'm going to go after you procrastinators. Beware of apathy. Beware of freezing and doing nothing. A great question to ask yourself, why am I putting this off? Why haven't I made that phone call? Why haven't I done that chore, that thing that I really want to do, but I just haven't done it? What is getting in the way of you doing the things that you want to do? A lot of time, the answer is we just don't want to deal with uncomfortable situations, right? And also sometimes we find other things because we get distracted, and so we push it off, and then we're like, oh yeah, that's right. I will admit, one of my greatest struggles in 2022 was my swimming pool, for which last in 2021, I forgot to put a cover on. And I meant to put a cover on that pool as it sat on the side of my house. But then it got to a point where it just didn't make sense. There were so many leaves and things swimming in there that I did not put in there that I thought, we'll just let it ride. That may not have been the best choice. And as procrastination seemingly never pays off. This year, being a little wiser, I put that thing on right away because I knew it was a priority to be able to swim reasonably soon when it gets hot again. And so it's covered and it's still clearish. It's not totally green yet. If anybody really knows how to keep a swimming pool clean, I would love to talk to you after service because I need some help. Or just put it in a comment and I will get it if you're joining us online. Don't put off something. It can just get done today. Man, how many of us feel trapped because we just didn't do something and then it started to pile up when, man, you could just come home and do it. Another example that I have of this is I do this once a year. I go on a solo camp trip. And I know many of you already think, wow, this guy is crazy. But I went out recently to Squaw Lake, and I didn't leave till after church on a Wednesday night, and it was pitch black. And I'm quickly trying to set up a fire so I don't get eaten by wolves. And what you realize very quickly when you're all by yourself and you're a little afraid of wolves and oddly slightly afraid, it's the whole thing. We don't need to go into all that. But out there, scared, you got to tend that fire. You can't get distracted, and you can't procrastinate on getting things done. You got to sit there and feed it and coddle it and make sure it gets strong enough. It's so much more enjoyable when you do that, okay? Not only should you be asking yourself, why am I putting this off? I also want you to think about, don't allow comfort to be the guide for your decision-making. We value comfort too high at times. And we let it factor in too highly in our decisions. We need to be more conscious when we're avoiding something just because it makes us uncomfortable. All right. Another thing we need to be aware of, again, I'm thinking of you, I'm thinking of me, I'm thinking of us following Jesus in 2023. Beware of isolation. As an introvert, this one might just be for me. I don't know. But often, thinking of comfort and making that be a huge factor in my decision making, I like to be alone. Not just because that's how I recharge better, because it is. I recharge better. That's why I do a solo camp trip by myself. I hear from the Lord. I like being alone. But not all the time that I'm alone. Some of the time, I just avoid people because I get anxious. I don't know. Don't choose isolation as an answer for discomfort. God created us to be a family of believers. He called it the church. Please understand that. We are better when we're together. We're better when we know each other and when we're known by each other. And there's some risk in that, right? There's some risk in inviting somebody out to eat after church. There's some risk to joining a life group. I get it. What if they make fun of you? I don't know. What if they, when you show up, they turn the lights off and they hide and pretend that you're not there? It could happen. I don't know. I mean, it is kind of silly, right? Why aren't you in a life group, by the way? You don't all have to answer at once. I'll go one by one, starting over here. It's a pretty foundational principle for me. We're better together. Don't choose isolation. That is not going to, it may be more comfortable for you, but it's not going to help us follow Jesus. We're going to follow Jesus better when we live with each other and talk with each other. And what a wonderful thing that is. However, there's a flip side to this. I also want you to beware of valuing what other people think. And so some people, they wouldn't say, oh, isolation's not my problem. They're out, they're on social media, but they are allowing how much they value what other people think to dictate their decisions. As in, well, I got to take a picture of this because everyone's going to want to like comment and see what this is. Or I'm choosing to do this event because of what I think about what other people are going to be worrying about me or concerned with, right? Beware of that. Beware of how much you value what other people think about you, because when that starts to dictate your decisions, it can have a huge impact as well. We talked about this already. It's really my last point on this. Beware of comfort. Do not allow comfort to be the sole decision maker in your life. Certainly, we all love sitting by, that was an assumption. I assume that we all love sitting by a nice fire, enjoying that, right? But there's some uncomfortable moments of working to get that fire to go. And you got to do some uncomfortable things to grow, right? If you want to be an individual following Jesus this year, I hope he doesn't ask you to sell all your possessions and follow him like he did to this rich guy in Matthew. However, that's the risk, right? And if you risk nothing, you're spectating. You're on the sideline. If you risk nothing in your life, there can be no reward. They're directly related. Now, please, do not go to your nearest casino and put all your money down because Pastor told me to. Pastor Ben said I need more risk in my life. Or buy a motorcycle. Don't do that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is encountering Jesus, getting face to face with him, is going to bring some discomfort to your life. Embrace it. That's wonderful. Man, we actually don't know what this rich person did. We know he left sad. We don't know if he came back with all his money and was freed. I really wish I knew, to be honest with you. It's one of these questions, looking at scripture, that's like, man, you know, why couldn't they have written it down? But at the same time, it's interesting that there is no ending, right? It's up to you and I to decide what we would do in that situation and how we would follow Jesus. Would we be willing to do whatever he asked, even if that meant telling somebody we knew about Jesus? I don't want to get too personal, but even if that meant sitting somewhere else at church, I know. But if he called you to do it, right? What a difference. Which brings me to the church, really. So individuals, we can take a deep breath. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about us following God this year. But as a church, let me tell you, man, there is so much that God's called us to. There is so much that God's called us to do as a church. And if we want to do it right in 2023, it's going to be centered around Jesus. I told this story about a month ago when I was speaking, and it has not let me go. I've been thinking about this story a lot. It's with Moses and these Israelites, this promised group of Hebrew slaves that's going to take this nation over and become Israel. This group of people are in the desert at the mountain where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, right? God's speaking these Ten Commandments in chapter 20. And in chapter 20, 18, it says this: when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. It's kind of a bummer story. Same with this rich man, right? I'm sorry if you were expecting a better story today. These are the two I chose. It's sad. God's people were ready to experience God in a way that hadn't been done since the Garden of Eden. They were physically there, and they chose to sit back. They chose to stay at a distance. What a sad day, right? Thankful Moses went. Thankful he interacted with God. As a church, we get the opportunity to see God move. We get the opportunity to be on the field and not in the grandstands watching, right? Or not on the bench. We get to play. God's given us that opportunity. Now, I show up every day and I walk past an empty senior pastor's office. I know we don't have a senior pastor. I said this before. It bears saying again. Whether we have a senior pastor or not, we are still the church. We are still the church. We can still see God move. We can still make a difference in our community and follow the calling that God has put on this church. In order for us to do that, we got to be willing to risk getting involved. We got to be willing to risk. Some of you already can feel the children's ministry pitch coming. I'm a little more cautious after the last time Pastor Roger made fun of me. You'll have to go back and listen to that one. Getting involved, think about giving, right? To be honest with you, don't give to Bethel Church because we need help. I said it. Give because you're generous or you're becoming generous. Don't give because you think you're going to make a difference. Give because it's a worship to the Lord. And you just want to be that kind of person that lives that way. Now, I'm not saying you have to give anonymously. You can get a tax deduction. That is fine. No problem there. But man, don't give to get back. Give because God's given you so much. And you're ready to worship him that way. I talk about serving. Don't serve here at Bethel because you're doing us a favor. You laugh, but I mean, she's done that. She did the play to help out Val. No, she loved doing the play. Don't serve. Serve because you want to be in the game. Serve because you value the time that we spend with each other enough that you want to see it be even greater and you want to have a greater return on the time you're here. Because if you remember what I said earlier, the amount of risk that you have is directly related to the amount of reward. And I'm not speaking of a heavenly reward. I'm just talking about an earthly principle that when you put in, you will get the potential for more out. And when it comes to serving, I can tell you the amazing relationships that have been formed here at Bethel Church through people serving each other and serving one another. Jesus himself washed his disciples' feet when he knew his time was not measured in days, but measured in hours left on this earth. He thought, well, this has got to get done. And we can serve each other because we want to, because that's what Christians do. All right. When I talk about prayer, don't pray because it's a checklist that you need to get done. Pray because we serve a living God. Pray for each other because you love each other, right? We are the church. And if we want to be a church that is following after Jesus in 2023, we need to get that. Coming to church is not just a checklist. Oh, I came to church today, great. Coming to church is an opportunity to make a difference in another person's life. And in truth, it's the same on Monday with how you're living your life and all the other aspects. To see God's kingdom move forward, to see a difference be made in people who need a Savior, just like you do. Now, it's probably been said before, but the church sometimes is a little bit behind the times. Maybe you've been in children's ministry and seen the flannel graph still being used. That is not because we have not seen newer technology. I love flannel graph. I didn't grow up in the church, so the first time I saw someone stick a thing on a board, it just stayed there, was like, what? And then they took a sword and they put it in the person's hand and it just stuck on the thing and it was like, that's incredible. And if you don't know what flannel graph is, you need to serve in children's ministry. We'd love to have you. Feel free. Because we really do need help and we'd love to have you there. And it's a great way. It's a great way to get involved. Think about worship, right? Think about the messages that we speak. It's easy for us to get behind. It's easy for us to fall into a spot that makes us super comfortable. Now, I mentioned sitting. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you sit in the same exact seat every week? You come to church. I mean, we know, because you're in the front. Everybody sees you in the front. I'm not saying you have to move. We did this at our staff meeting, and it really freaked Pastor Daniel out. We all kind of sit in the same spot, and then we all kind of moved. Started with Steve, actually, moved his chair, and then everybody was off. Maybe where you sit next Sunday is God ordained and God directed. Maybe you maybe never even considered that. The value that your physical presence could have in a different seat at this church. Don't undervalue the opportunity we have to interact with each other. Don't undervalue the difference that God can make through you just because you want to be comfortable. Just because you want to stay with the same routine. I will admit, we sing worship songs that I don't really know the words because I don't listen to a lot of Christian music, and Pastor Roger is always challenging us with new songs. But I wouldn't want to be at a church that sang the same songs every week. Because I want to be at a church that understands being uncomfortable. It's not only just good, it's necessary. It's necessary for us as a church. There's a great verse, Galatians 6:9, it says this. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And I want to end with this. Thinking of this year, thinking of us interacting, again, my goal is not to add burden to you today. My goal is that we all, as a community of believers, could realign with what Jesus has called us to. As an example, I want to tell you about an experience I had going to Nashville, Tennessee. It was a great trip. I got to meet with my mentor. His name's Jim Weidman. We had a great time together. He took me to this place called the Hatch Show Print. It's Hatch. I said it wrong. H-A-T-C-H. Hatch Show Print. This is one of the oldest letter printing shops in the United States, still in business, right? And they do all of their posters with hand-carved letters that they make. They're, if you want to get a poster printed, you cannot send them a digital file. You can't even send them an email. You have to call them. They don't have an email. They've gone really old school, but in a cool way. You have to get in touch with them, and then they will take a look at the art you have, and they'll hand cut these posters. And they do all the artists and all the famous people that go through Nashville. They'll make specific things if someone wants one of those, and sell them at the concerts and things. And they're always like the most sought after posters. They're really, really cool, the stuff they're able to do. What I found out, though, was that some of those letters that they used, the fonts that were created and hand-carved, were over 150 years old. And they're still used. The crazy thing was, the more that they were used, the way the oils and the paints worked, they actually made the wood stronger. 2023, I hope, is not a year where you feel more burden. I hope it is not a year where you feel less peace. I hope it is a year, though, that you feel right in step with Jesus, that you feel connected to him and connected to this community here at Bethel Church. God's going to do something this year, right? It might be in you, it might be in someone you know, but as a church, we get to experience that together. Let's stand up. We're going to sing another song, and as we sing, don't undervalue how amazing your singing voice is, because it is amazing. And let's worship our God, because he is amazing.